Morning to the book of Amos, Amos chapter 7. We're not advertising racetrack this morning, but I need something different than water this morning because of the way I'm feeling. But this is Coke in here, and I may take a sip every now and then to keep things going right. Amos chapter 7, Old Testament minor prophet. The minor prophet of God. And I just want to read two verses, if we could, here in chapter 7. Look, if you will, at verse 14. The Bible said, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel." I want you to focus in on that, just those words right there at the very start of verse 15, where the Bible said, "And the Lord took me." And the Lord took me. You know, and in this text, we've got just a little bit, maybe a very short testimony of how God called Amos to be a prophet. And it's kind of interesting what he says. He said, when God called me, he said, "I was a simple herdsman. I was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. That's what I did. Nothing big, nothing fabulous." But then we see those marvelous words, "And the Lord took me." And the Lord took me. Man, Amos said, "I was out and about, minding my own business, if you will, doing what I did, and the Lord showed up and took me." And I want to use those words and that thought this morning and preach to you on the subject of "the Lord took me." Just very simple message. Number one, He took me as I came. He took me as I came. Amos said, "The Lord took me." He said, "I was just following the flock." He said, I wasn't out necessarily, but I was just following the flock. And Amos said, "I was taken just as he was in the midst of his normal life, in the midst of his routine, if you will. The Lord took it." Aren't you glad the Lord took you as you came? Just think about it, all right? I think about Amos. He came with no pedigree. He said, "I was not a prophet. I wasn't even the son of a prophet." He said, "I had no pedigree out there to make me valuable. I had no potential the way I was. There was no prophet in me. It was just me. And the Lord took me as I came." I'm so glad that's the way the Lord takes us. You didn't have to clean up. You didn't have to straighten up. You didn't have to make yourself presentable. You didn't have to make any particular actions. But the Lord showed up, and glory to God, He took me as I came. He took me as a 9-year-old boy, as an introvert, the son of a preacher, but having no thoughts of being a preacher, just a kid trying to survive as a kid, and He took me. Just like I came, boy. You know, we sing that song, "Just as I am, without one plea." Hey, that's exactly the way the Lord takes each one of us. That's exactly the way He takes us. Just as I am, just as you come, all right? If you'll come, He'll take you just like you are. Well, what a wonderful thought that is. But I want to tell you this, all right? I'm glad He took me as I came. But I am absolutely ecstatic that He took me to Calvary. He took me to Calvary. Hey, it was at Calvary that the blood was shed for my sin. It was there at Calvary that blood was poured out. And our Savior died, and He died not for Himself. He was guiltless, but He died for me. He died for you, and I'm so glad the Lord took me as I came, but when He took me, the first place He took me was to Calvary. Amen. He said, "Those sins need to be taken care of," all right? I'll be honest with you. If you haven't been to Calvary, you don't belong to the Lord today. If He never took you by that place, and that, as the song said, you know, that crimson cleansing flow, You've never been there. You've never been born again, all right? It happens through that. Because when I came, just like if you came to him, when I came, I was clothed in my sin. I was in my own iniquity. You said, preacher, good heavens, you were only 9 years old. What could you have done? See, that's our problem when we look at sin. We think, oh, it's just a little thing. No, sin's sin. Now, you understand that it only took one sin to make you lost? And we were born with that sinful nature. We're born lost. And if a person could, you know, try to say, well, only messed up one time in my life, that's all it took. That's all it took. Well, preacher, that lie I told was just a very little thing. It was maybe just kind of a little white lie, but it was a lie. It was a lie. Well, preacher, what I took, I mean, it didn't amount to nothing. It wasn't worth more than maybe 50 cents, but it's stealing. It's stealing. And we look at sin the wrong way. Hey, as a little 9-year-old boy, I came to him. I was clothed in my sin. That sin, I needed forgiveness. My sin needed to be covered. The only place that could happen was at Calvary. That was where it was going to be done. The only thing that can cover my sin and cover your sin is that pure, spotless blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was at Calvary. It was at Calvary on that cross that Jesus shed the blood that would pay my sin debt. I had to go to Calvary. Calvary. Hey, I needed to be taken to Calvary because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without it. Heard people talk about it and say, well, man, you got a bloody religion. You just put her down. Without that shedding of blood, there's no remission. There is no remission of sin. That's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:23. You can't get by without it. Hey, I'm so glad he took me as I came. But when he took me to Calvary. There my sin was covered. You may look at me and say, yeah, I know some things about you. But my God looks at me and sees me wrapped in the righteousness of his Son. Sees, doesn't see my sin because it's been forgiven. It's under the blood. Hey, I'm glad he took me as I came. I'm glad he took me to Calvary. But I want you to see number three. He took me to the cleaners. Now, normally when we say something like that, we go, wow, that's a bad, you know, it means someone took advantage of you financially. I guess most of the time the place I've heard it is in relationship maybe to a divorce. And somebody say, well, he or she took me to the cleaners, you know, and took me for every dime I had or something like that. Look, that's not what I mean at all today. My friend, when you get born again, there are things in your life that need to get cleaned up. Get cleaned up. This last week I took this suit in to the cleaners. And I got in there and I pointed out, hey, look, there's some spots right here. And that lady at the cleaners put a tag on there. Not that it did any good, because the spots are still there. But I'll tell you this, they're on the inside. And I'll cut my hand so you can't see them, all right? But they're still there. But when I got saved, when I trusted the Lord as my Savior, I wasn't perfect. I wasn't perfect. You're not either. So the Lord takes us to the cleaners. He said, why does he do that? Help clean you up. Help clean you up, all right? He takes you to the cleaners to make you a fit vessel. So what do you mean by that? Well, look over in the New Testament to 2 Timothy, would you? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look in verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Notice what the Word of God here says. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the ministry, and he's trying to help him. And in verse 20, in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Hey, the Lord takes you to the cleaners to clean you up, to make you a fit vessel to serve Him. Make you a fit vessel. Now, I want you to notice, though, what the Bible says. In verse 21, who does it? It says, if a man purge what? Himself. He said, do what? Yeah. If a man purge himself. The work of God at Calvary was to pay our sin debt and to cover that sin and to pay for it. But then he says, all right, now you're saved, and I want you to serve me, and there's some things in your life that need to get cleaned up. And he says, if a man purge himself. Look, God's not going to do everything for you. There are things you need to do for yourself. No, I want God to do it all. No, you got to do it. You got to do it. God begins to put His finger on things in your life. You say, how does that happen? As you come to church. He said, that's why I don't come very often. No, that's why we ought to be there, okay? Why? So the Word of God is taught, the Word of God is preached, and as that happens, the Holy Spirit uses it to say, hey, that's you He's talking about. That's you. That's your life. He's talking about that gossip. That's you. You're the one does it. It's you. You do it. When He says, be kind one to another. Hey, you know you're unkind. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the Lord takes you to the cleaners. And He begins to point out the spots in your life and they need to be taken care of. Now, you can pray and say, Lord, help me not to gossip, but you're the one who's got to shut your mouth, okay? You're the one got to do that. God's not going to seal your lips for you. You've got to do it. Hey, you've got some wicked habits you need to get rid of. They don't bring honor and glory to God. Get rid of them. Maybe you've got a tongue that gets away from you every now and then. You say, well, I get aggravated. I got mad and it just slipped out. No, it didn't just slip out. You said it. It's awful quiet when we get on things like this. Maybe you're there thinking, move on to the next point, preacher. Move on to the next point. Hey, but it doesn't do you any good if I don't preach on things that affect you, okay? I stood here this morning and preached against bootleg and everybody say, amen, preach up, preach on. Now, if I was in Arkansas, I might get a little dicey, all right? But, hey, you understand what I'm saying? Hey, that old tongue of yours, you control it. You're the one. You say, wait a minute, preacher, the Bible said the tongue's unruly member, no man can tame. Yeah, but you can shut your mouth. And it doesn't care what your tongue does if your mouth's shut. Doesn't matter, because it won't come out. You do it. Hey, the Bible points out stuff in your life. What's He doing? He said, I'm taking it down to the cleaners. You need to get that cleaned up. You need to get that cleaned up. That old selfish spirit you've got, need to get that cleaned up. Need to change that. You understand? Now listen, I could preach here for a long time. We could go down the list and name every kind of thing we can think of that needs to be dealt with. We could talk about drinking. We could talk about smoking. We could talk about dope. We could talk about pornography. We just go on and on and on. But wait a minute. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. The preacher puts his finger. I mean, the preacher preaches and the Holy Spirit puts His finger in your life and you know where He's at. Sometimes preacher doesn't have to mention it whatsoever. The Holy Spirit says, you know what the problem is. So what's He doing? Hey, He took me. He took me as I came. He took me by Calvary. And then He takes me to the cleaners. He said, you need to clean those things up, all right? Need to clean those things up. He points out where the problem is. And then He expects us to take action to make it right. He expects us to take action to make it right. We need to do what we need to do. That sin needs to be dealt with. It needs to be confessed. It needs to be repented of. Hey, maybe it's not just sin. Maybe it's a weight. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about the weights and the sin that does so easily beset us. And they keep us from running the race. There's sin, but there's some things that are weights. They hold us back. Why? Because we let them get too much importance in our life. And they keep us from serving God. Some people, it's a fishing pole. Some, it's a boat. Start to say a new boat, but it don't even need to be new, all right? Some people, it's golf clubs. Now, can I just say, so you won't think I'm picking on you, I like to play golf, and I love to fish. And I like running around in a boat as long as I don't have to pay for the boat, all right? So if you've got a boat and you want to ask me out, just call me, all right? And, that's fine. But you hear me, I don't want those things to get between me and my God. Amen. They become weights then, they hold us back. And the Lord says, hey, I'll take you down to the cleaner and I'll point out what's wrong. Then you do something about it. Then you do something about it. Hey, you've taken clothes to the cleaners. Then you point out places, this, you know, here's this. Years ago, Brother and Mrs. Hutton worked for us here. They were involved in the school. And I'll never forget Ms. Hutton talking about taking a blouse or a dress that she took in to the cleaner, and she said it had beans that had been spilled on it, and it had to be dry cleaned. She took it in. She said when I got it back, opened it up, the beans were still there. She said, well, they didn't do anything about it. How about when the Lord takes you to the cleaners, and he said, there's the problem. And you don't do anything about it. Hey, I'm so glad he took me as I came. I'm glad he took me to Calvary. I'm going to tell you this, I'm glad he took me to the cleaners. And by the way, he still does. He still does, all right? You see, it's hard to live for God when your life is cluttered and clobbered by sin. Really hard to live for him, all right? When that life gets cleaned up, God has a path for you to walk. He has a will for you to accomplish. And you can do it, but you can't do it if you got a filthy vessel to do it with. And there's not a one of you here, not a one of you here that are going to eat out of a filthy vessel. You won't do it. I don't know about y'all. I go to a restaurant. They lay out the silverware. The first thing I do is unwrap it, and I take the fork, and it gets a very close examination. Well, there's something stuck right. Yeah, I got it. No problem. You wouldn't eat with that fork. You'd say, hey, I need a clean fork. There's not something on it. Years ago, I was at a meeting after church with some of the members of the church. I was a teenage kid, and we'd oftentimes get together, several families get together after church just for fellowship, be chip and dip and little sandwiches, soda pop, whatever. And I was sitting on the couch, you know, because there wasn't seating at a table for everybody. I'd put my drink down here by my foot, and I was eating. I reached down, pulled my glass up, and there was a spider floating on the top of my drink. Let me just assure you, I did not flick him off and drink. I figure if he was on the top, he had affected everything from the top through the bottom. I'm not drinking that. Why? Don't like a dirty vessel. God can't use us if we're dirty. So what does he do? Well, he takes us to the cleaners. He takes us to the cleaners. And he took me as I came. He carried me to Calvary to get my sins covered. Then he took me to the cleaners so I could serve him. And glory to God, you hear me, one day he's going to take me in the clouds. One of these days he's going to take me in the clouds. Take your Bible over to Romans chapter 1. I mean Revelation, not Romans. Revelation chapter 1, would you? Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Notice what the very first words out of this verse is. Revelation 1, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." One of these days, he's going to take me in the clouds. One of these days, he's going to. Now, I'll be honest with you, that's not the day it's talking about right there. So what do you mean? Hey, that's the second advent. That in chapter 1, verse 7, what the Bible's talking about there in Revelation is when our Lord returns to this earth. He is coming back in the clouds. And he'll return to the earth. But that's not what I'm talking about when he's coming for me in the clouds. You said, "Well, preacher, what in the world are you talking about?" Well, go with me, if you will, over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see, the scripture speaks of the second advent when he returns, Christ returns to the earth to claim his kingdom. And what a marvelous, glorious day that will be, all right? But he's coming back for you and I who are saved before then. He's coming back before that day. Now, I want you to notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 13. Now, these are verses you often hear at funerals, and especially out at the graveside. But I want you to know they're not just the words to comfort those that are bereaved. These are words to excite and encourage the child of God. Verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." That word there, prevent, means precede. Verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Somebody said, why are they rising first? They got a little further to go, all right? Then we get to verse 17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them," here it is, "in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord." So shall we ever be. The Bible says he's coming back in the clouds. And we're going to meet him there. This is the rapture. This is what's known as a rapture, okay? And this is going to take place before he comes back to the earth. He said, how long? 7 years. 7 years before he comes back to the earth, he's coming back. And we're going to be caught out of here. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, folks, I want to tell you something. I believe with all that is in me, his return is imminent. Imminent. I believe in all that within me, he could come at any moment. He could come back before we finish this service this morning. He could come back and the trump of God shall sound. And when it does, all that's needed, by the way, you say, what's got to happen before he comes? Just the trump of God. Amen. Just the trump of God sound and him to say to us, come up hither. Amen. We're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can I say this to you? That means all the cleaning, all the purging, all the chastening, all the persecution, all that you think you had to miss to serve God will seem as absolutely nothing on that day. Those Christians that walk around with their lip in the ground, we can't do this, and we can't do that. I tell you, when the trump of God sounds and you're in his presence, you won't go, Lord, do you know what you made me miss? Oh, no. There won't be any of that foolishness. Now, I tell you what, there might be. There might be some shame. Might be some shame when you realize, Lord, you took me to the cleaner and I never cleaned that up. You pointed out the weight in my life and I never got rid of that weight. There might be some embarrassment, some shame. And I tell you what a wonderful day that's going to be for the child of God. If you came, if he took you as you came, and that's the way he takes everybody, and he took you to Calvary, your sins are forgiven, and he took you to the cleaners. By the way, you have to go to the cleaners a lot, don't you? Have to go to the cleaners a lot. If the Lord showed you everything that was wrong with you at once, it'd knock you off your feet. Say, well, I can't do it. So the Lord takes you down the road one at a time. You need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of that. Hey, this is what you need to be doing. You need to be doing that. You need to get rid of that. You need to be doing this. And the Holy Spirit leads you along. Leads you along. That Brother Terry said, with his hand in mine, he takes us to the cleaners, show you where the problem is. We take care of it. I want to ask you this morning, are you ready to meet him today just as you are? You ready to meet him today just like you are? Or do you sit there and think, there's some things I need to change. There's some problems in my life. There's some sin that needs to be rejected. I've got some habits that I need to deal with. Then this would be a good time to deal with it. Be a good time to deal with it. Some things in your life need to be changed. You ought to change them. Some things ought to be made right. Make them right. Make them right. I don't know about you, but it's a lot better to go to the Lord right with him than it is trying to explain why you did what you did. For years, we've had Christian school. I don't know how many times I've called kids into the office, talked with them. Every time you call a kid to the office, what did I do? You got that guilt complex, all right? Sometimes it's not what they've done. It's just I want to help them with something, you know? But there's been a lot of times when there was something there. And I've listened to some of the most interesting arguments you've ever heard in your life for them trying to justify their wrongdoing. Some of them were funny, but you couldn't laugh. I'm going to tell you this. I don't want to stand before God and try to explain why I didn't do what he said. I don't want to stand before him and have to tell him, Lord, I know you told me not to, but I did it anyway. And here's... No, I don't want to try to explain that. I'd rather come and make it right. When he takes me to the cleaners, it's just better if I go and say, okay, Lord, I can deal with that. I'll purge myself of that. Hey, he took you the way you came, but he didn't want you to stay the way you were. His purpose was to change you. Let me ask you here this morning, just in closing, hey, have you come to him? Did you let him take you? He took Amos as he is following the flock. But Amos didn't say, wait a minute, I got things to do right here. No, the Lord took him and he went and did what God said. Maybe you're here this morning, the Holy Spirit's convicted you of the fact that you're lost in your sin. If you die, you'd go to hell. You know it and God knows it. Now, nobody else may, but you do. Don't do anything about it. He'll take you as you come. Well, I need to straighten up. No, you don't. No, you don't. What you need to do is walk the aisle and trust Christ as your Savior. That's what you need to do. Just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. So what I need to do, you need to come forward, meet me right here at the front, put your hand in mine and say, preacher, I need to trust Jesus. I want to do that. That's what you need to do. Christian, he took you as you came. He took you through by Calvary, and he's taking you to the cleaners. Hey, what's he got his finger on in your life this morning? What's he got his finger on in your life today? What is it you're doing you know you ought not to be doing? What is it that you're not doing that you know you should be doing? See, he's taking you to the cleaners and he wants you to do something about it. One of the best things to do, you start by walking and meet the Lord at the altar. You don't have to come confess anything to me. Now, I'll pray for you, and I'll pray with you, but I can't take your place. You got to do it. He purged himself. He or to get right with God. Would you do it today? Would you stand, please, this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today because we're people in need. Lord, there's some that have never come. They've never allowed you to take them. They've rebelled. They've pushed you aside and pushed you away. Lord, would you help them today to come and take Christ?